Turn to the book of James, chapter 1. Changed my message 4 or 5 times for this morning, just asking the Lord, please. But this is a prayer advance. And prayer is the least thing we do and the most important thing we do. No one here is any better of a Christian than they are a prayer. And there is no way to successfully navigate the Christian life without prayer. And we're about to read a passage of Scripture where prayer is a key, and yet it's something that is not prayed for often. Now, when you read the book of James, always remember two things about it. Number one, it was written by the half-brother to the Savior. The man who God used to write this, who God breathed through, grew up in the home with Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have been raised in the home with the Savior? Now, how many of you have a brother or a sister? Hold your hand up. How many of you think they know something about you? I have one sister, and I'm thrilled she's not here today. She knows just a little too much about me. Boy, here is somebody raised with the Savior, who God then chose, man, to give us this passage of Scripture. But there's a second thing you want to remember about the book of James. This was written to some of the best Christians who ever lived. We're about to read in verse 1 of chapter 1, these were scattered people. And the reason they were scattered, because when persecution came, while others gave in, they didn't. Can you imagine if we said, listen, grab your kids, grab a few things, for the faith we have to flee. Many, many people gave in. These people did not give in. And God gives direction to these incredible people who had stood under such unbelievable persecution. Now, I want to tell you in summary what he's about to tell them. He says, number one, when trouble comes your way, you are blessed. Do you know what the Bible says? Count it more precious than gold. Can I ask you a question? Right over here is an enormous stack of money. Right over here is a major trial. God tells you which one to pick. Brother Gibbs, what I think I'm going to do is pick this and then talk to God about that. Now, remember our molds last night? That's the world's mold. God, I want what I want. I don't want trouble. I don't want trial. No man here is made by his blessings. We're made by our trials. The truth is our blessings come nigh on to ruining us. And you know why? Because when we're super blessed, we don't need God the same way. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, there's no one here worried about eating. We got money. And all of a sudden, because of the blessings, we just want God for more blessing. Remember, God promised to meet your needs, not your greeds. And God says, I want you to count it all joy, we're about to read this, when you have trial. But then he says the second thing to these believers. He says, I want you to ask me for wisdom. When is the last time you pled with God for wisdom? Let's read James chapter 1 together, starting at verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, Boy, what a statement. I mean, he's understanding his half-brother is very God and very man. And he says, I'm the servant of God, and I'm the servant of my brother, who is the Son of God. To the 12 tribes which are scattered, say the next word there, scattered abroad, greeting. Now here comes a command of God. My brethren, count it a little bit of joy. Would you underline the word all? And I want to give you a profound Greek treatise on the word all. All means all. And that's all means. I wonder if you can say, Brother Gibbs, when I have a trial, big ones, little ones, doesn't matter, man, do I count it all joy. It's a command. We are going nowhere with God till we obey that command. I talked with a pastor this morning on the phone early. Man, they got sued last night. Oh, Brother Gibbs, I'm telling you, this is so upsetting. They're saying these terrible things about us. And Brother Gibbs, it's not true. And man, the papers are writing terrible things and our people are shook up. What should we do? Tell me, we're going to do exactly what you say. What do we need to do? I said, okay, I'll tell you. Number one, thank God for it. No, Brother Gibbs, I want to know what to do. I just told you. Count it all joy. Oh, well, Brother Gibbs, you don't know my finances right now. Count it all joy. Well, you don't know what is going on in some relationships in my life. Count it all joy. Oh, Brother Gibbs, you don't know what I got to put up with my kids. Count it all joy. Well, Brother Gibbs, I don't feel like doing that. That's why it's a command. Can I tell you what the problem is? We want to go get a book on how to handle the problem. And God says, you missed first base. I don't care what the trial is. First base is, I want you to count it all joy. When is the last time over a trial you said, God, I thank you for this as much as any blessing in my life? Now, here's the problem I see. Do you know why our kids don't do this? Because they never saw Dad do it. I tell you, I don't know why we should have this trouble. This is stupid. God, I know, but I'm telling you, God, this is stupid. And then you go to church and sing How Great Thou Art. Then you go to church and sing Only Trust Him. God says, I don't care what I bring to your life. I want you to count it all joy. Was at a church in a, they did things a little different in this church. It was in Boise, Idaho. And Brother Scott, when it was time for the choir, they would call the choir up from the congregation. So the choir was not up there, but how many of you understand what I'm talking? They would bring the choir up. So I mean, they said, okay, time for the choir. Well, man, here comes the choir. And all of a sudden, here comes a young lady in her early 20s. Who is really having a time just to walk. And she gets to the few stairs, and they have to help her. Her arms are gone. Major portions of her face are gone. And I don't know if you've ever stood here and you don't want to stare, but have you ever looked at someone and said, oh my, how did that happen? When the service was done, I was standing down front and they brought this young lady up. I said, how are you doing? Oh, she said, I'm doing great. She said, I noticed that you noticed me. She said, Brother Gibbs, pray with me. I want to count this all joy. She's the state volleyball champion. She is this golfer extraordinaire that has offers to turn professional. She's a wonderful, wonderful Christian. And then she got a virus. And got very, very sick. A strep virus. And they rushed her to major medical in Portland. And what they found out was that this virus was literally eating her body alive. And they came to the parents and they said, your daughter has one chance to survive. We need to start removing parts of her body. Her dad was standing there and he said, you know what it's like, Brother Gibbs, to tell him, go ahead, cut my girl's hands off. Go ahead, take her cheeks off. I said, my soul. They kept cutting to try to stop it. I said, I'm so sorry. They said, please don't say that. Help us count it all joy. All joy. What would it take for you to leave this beautiful camp and say, if I'm going to do one thing for God, I'm going to start counting it all joy for the trials in my life? Well, Brother Gibbs, it'd be a little easy for me to do because, man, to God's glory, my plate's kind of empty right now. I really don't have any problems. Yeah, I'm thankful for that for you. But you know what I've discovered? It only takes one phone call to turn your life upside down. Just takes one trip to a doctor to find out, uh-oh. And you know what God says? My will for you is to count it all joy. Yeah, but Brother Gibbs, I want God to help me in this problem. Where His help is triggered is in your joy. And God wants you and me to count it all joy. Now look at it. He tells you why. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God says, listen, this joy triggers patience, and patience is what brings about what God's trying to do in our lives. But the triggering event is not patient. People come up to me all the time and say, oh, pray for me, I'm trying to be patient. God never said try to be patient. He said count it all joy. If you'll do that, the patience will come. Brother Gibbs, I don't know how to put up with this anymore. Count it all joy. Because that joy triggers the patience. But he doesn't leave you there. Here comes the answer to every trial. Verse 5. if any of you lack wisdom. Now, underscore the word wisdom, because this word is frequently misunderstood. In the Bible, there are two words. One is the word wisdom, the other is the word knowledge. And they're very different. A man can have a lot of knowledge and no wisdom. Or someone can have major God-given wisdom and not have a whole bunch of knowledge. This is my definition, but I find it works pretty good. Knowledge is knowing stuff. It means you're knowledgeable. I went to school with some guys. They're like walking encyclopedias. I mean, they have 3-4 earned PhDs. Man, are they knowledgeable. But when it comes to wisdom, they're the stupidest thing sucking breath on planet Earth. Do you know what wisdom is? Wisdom is knowing what to do and when to do it. Say that out loud. Wisdom is knowing what to do and when to do it. Say it again. Wisdom is knowing what to do and when to do it. Listen, God never said you gotta have knowledge. He said you gotta have wisdom. Boy, you know what? When you go to a doctor and you say, tell me everything you know, that's not what you say. You know what you say? What do I do? Man, there is no substitute for wisdom. Now, maybe you have a wonderful chronicled education. That's terrific. Maybe you never got out of junior high school. Doesn't make any difference. You know what God said? If you will ask me for it, I'll give it to you. If you do not know what to do and when to do it, it's because you didn't ask. Oh, help me, preacher. I got to figure out what to do. Why wouldn't we ask God? He's promised to give it. Promised. Oh, Brother Scott, help me think this one out, okay? Here's the pros, here's the cons. Seems like... And so you know what we do? Exactly what the world does. We make the best call we know how. God never asked you to make the best call you know how. He said, I will give you wisdom. Now, let's look at how we get this. By the way, how many of you want to know in life what to do and when to do it? If any of you lack, now underscore the word lack, because that doesn't sound like a requirement, but it is. The word lack used there was not the word for being a little short. It was the word for being destitute. It was the word for having nothing. Now, here's the problem. We don't want to admit we lack. There's just something not manly, not sophisticated about saying, I don't know what to do. Nothing more insulting than when you're driving a car. To have a woman tell you where to go.
Amen.
Can you imagine? You're in your car and you turn to your wife and say, you know, I don't know what to do. Direct me. You say, I will drive all over the backside of the mountain before I do that. We don't want to give in. You know what God says? you got to come to me. And here's the first requirement. You want to know what to do and when to do it? You have to acknowledge that you lack. Now, the average man in a fundamental Bible-believing church, here's how we do it. God, just between you and me, I can handle about, maybe 3/4, 80% of life. And if you'd just be kind enough to help me with the 20% I can't handle, I tell you, we'd be a great partnership. 80% me, 20% you. Man, that'll be dynamic. You know what? You don't want God. You want heaven's bellman. You just want somebody to help you with what you can't handle. And God says, we're not going to play the game that way. I want you to come to me and acknowledge that you lack. Can I warn you? Boy, if you think you know how to raise kids, you just haven't tried to raise kids. If you think you know how to put the marriage together, you just haven't tried to put a marriage together. If you think you know how to heal relationships, you know what God says? It starts with you acknowledging that without me, you can do nothing. And I want you to lack. If any of you lack wisdom, boy, there's the first requirement. Now here's the second one. Let him, underscore the word him. No one can do this for you. Brother Vaughn, I wish you could do it for me. If I know my own heart, I'd do it for you. But we can't. This requires that you ask for you. Let him ask of God. Now underscore the word ask, because it's a very particular word. By the way, this word is found later on in this same book. It says you have not because you ask not. I'm afraid most Christians in prayer rarely ask. They say, no. I prayed, I asked. Let me tell you what the word ask means. It's the word for asking with great particularity. It's the word for getting super specific. It's the word for getting down to the details. When is the last time you got specific with God? Now, he doesn't want you to get specific for his benefit. He already knows everything you need. He wants you to get specific for your benefit. Now, I want to offer you that this is not in the Bible. You do not have to do this, but I found it very helpful, and I got this from my wife. She said, honey, we're praying too general. Let's start writing, and let's keep re-editing and getting specific. God, help my kids. How? To do what? You see, we are praying these super general prayers. God bless my family. Nothing wrong with that prayer. Except it's so broad of a canopy and request that it doesn't meet the requirement. He said, you have not because you never got specific and asked. How good are you at getting specific? Oh, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. What? What is it that you need to know what to do? What is it you need to know when to do? God says, I want you to get super specific with me. This will revolutionize your life. Getting specific with God. Now, I don't know of anybody who has a good prayer life. I could be wrong on this, but I don't know of any who has a good prayer life who doesn't have a detailed prayer list. Because I don't know how you can get specific enough. Have you ever sat down to pray and after about 10 minutes you're kind of out of stuff? Do you know what? You're not out of stuff. You just aren't thinking of the specifics. If you made a list of everything you want God to do in each of your kids, everything you want God to do in your marriage, everything you want God to do in your vocation, everything you want God to change in your life, everything you want God to do in helping other people who you know come to Christ, everything you want God to do in your church, everything you want God to do in America, everything you want God to do in this world, you are going to have some kind of a list. If you will make a list, I promise you, you'll never get through it in an hour. Oh, sweet hour of prayer. That's the song we sing. You might want to write this down. In fundamental Bible-believing churches, less than 2% of the people have ever in their life spent 1 hour in prayer. And then we wonder why we are where we are. Let him ask. I say this to the men here. No way to be the dad wants you to be if you're not holding your kids up in prayer. Specific prayer. Oh, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. But do you love them enough to ask for them? Oh, boy. How many of you remember Lester Roloff? Anybody? I was defending that dear man in a trial, and he called me one morning of the trial, and he said, David, come on down. I want to pray with you this morning. I said, okay, I'll be there. If I remember right, I got to his room about 6:30. I went in the room, and he had a room with two beds in it. And when I walked in, there were papers spread all over these beds. I mean, all over them. I said, oh, Brother Roloff, are these papers for the trial? He said, no, no, no. He said, these are my prayer lists. I said, these are your prayer lists? I said, wow. He said, yeah, get that box over there. The rest of it is in there. He said, Brother Gibbs, it takes me about 2.5 to 3 hours a day to go through my prayer list. He said, I got a lot to ask for. Isn't it funny? God never said, you want to know what to do and how to do it? He didn't say, go get a degree. And I'm not against degrees. He didn't say, go to Bible college. He didn't say go to more church services. You know what he said? Ask. Ask. Now, look at what he said to ask for. If any of you lack wisdom, man, we acknowledge we don't have it. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Now, boy, you want to be thankful for that. You know what God says? I don't care how many times you come asking, I'll never scold you for asking. God's never going to say, how many times do I have to tell you? He said, I'll never upbraid you. He said, I'll never be offended. And he said, I will give it to all men. Say the next word there, liberally. Now, I want you to underscore liberally because it's a neat word. It was the word for giving more than could be held. So if I ask you, do you have God's wisdom? And you say, well, somewhat, you're wrong. If you have it at all, you have more of it than you need. Or you don't have it at all. Because my Bible says he giveth to all men liberally. Boy, Brother Gibbs, I need to know what to do about... Remember, wisdom is knowing what to do and when to do it. And wisdom is, I'm going to come and ask God. I acknowledge, man, I lack. And God says, I'll give it to you, never scold you, and I'll give you more than you need. Amen. Brother Vaughn, man, what a complicated life this man leads. Man, should we go here? Should we do... You know what God says? You got two choices. You can do what an unsaved man does. Make the best call you know how. Or you can talk to me and tell me you don't know what to do, that you lack, and I will give it to you liberally. That's true of every one of our lives. Can I ask you a question? Why would you want to live without that? It's free. How many of you like the sound of the word free, right? Wow. Now, I want to make a confession to you here. While I know this truth, I struggle with this truth. Because I just want to go off on my own and start making the best calls I know how. God, I've done these trials now 37 years. Man, I've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of cases. And God, and you know what God says? Don't sound to me like you lack. Boy, Brother Scott, you've preached for years and years. I mean, man, you're a veteran. You got all that. And you know what God says? Don't sound to me like he lacks. We all lack. Amen. By the way, how many of you are keenly disappointed with yourself on occasion? Just how many of you, like me, have made some super big decision blunders? How many of you made some decisions that could only be classified as whoppers? Yeah. How many of you, me, are like thrilled nobody knows about them? Boy, have I made... By the way, how many of you have been just royally stupid on occasion? Just, it's the only word that fits. Have you ever said, what was I thinking? Wow. You know what God says? You did it without me. Man, ask. And I promise I'll give you wisdom. And he said, and it shall be given him. Now, would you underline the word shall? It doesn't say may. Be perfectly good if God said may. But God says, I promise you, I'll give it to you. But here's the third requirement. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now, three really simple requirements. Number one, I lack. Number two, you got to ask. Specific. Specific. And again, you can do that without writing it, but boy, I find when you write a prayer out and then you start editing it, man, the prayers my wife and I do, we put little arrows in it. We say, God, what we mean here, God already knows what we need. It's not for his benefit, it's for us. To say, God, we want to get specific. You didn't command us to ask in general. You commanded us to ask specific. And then God, you said, and it shall be given him. It's a very strange thing. It took faith for you to get saved. For by grace are ye saved through, what's the next word? Faith. And now you won't pull that faith trigger and ask God for wisdom. You pulled the faith trigger for eternity. But now somehow we don't want to pull the faith trigger to know what to do and when to do it. I mentioned my granddad last night for a moment. And he had an interesting life. He He quit the fifth grade after they asked him to repeat it for the third time. And my granddad was not an educated man. When my granddad would write his signature, boy, I mean, he'd get a pen out and he'd have to, you just fluidly, because you've practiced, yours has got a scripted hand to it. Man, I mean, he struggled just to write his signature carefully. But the day my granddad quit school, he went home to the small farm they lived on. He took a cow out in the field, he killed it, cut it up, put it on a wagon, took it into town and sold it. Next morning he got up, killed another cow, cut it up, put it on a wagon, took it into town, sold it. After doing that for about a year, he was up to two cows. Now every morning he'd get up and kill two cows, cut them up, take them into town and sell them. After about 10 years, he's killing a dozen cows a day. After 40 years, he's killing about 5,000 to 7,000 a week, putting them in refrigerated trailers and sending it all over the East Coast. He didn't know much. All he knew how to do was give 1,100 to 1,200 men a full-time job. Now let me tell you what I know was the key to my granddad's life. Hundreds of times, I watched him get on his knee multiple times a day. And he had a strange habit. He'd say, "God, this is Earl." And I'd say, "Grandpa, why do you tell God it's Earl?" He said, "'Cause it's Earl." Let me tell you what the secret was. He talked to God like you talk to a friend. And he'd get on his knee and he'd say, "God, I don't know what I'm doing. And God," he'd say this, "I don't want to give you a bad name. I got to know what to do. And I got to know when to do it." And God answered that prayer. I was with him one day. We had to go to New York because we were selling so much meat out of the country, and we went to meet with all these trade delegates and these lawyers, and they said, "Mr. Gibbs, you're doing millions of dollars a week out of the country, and now you got to be a foreign trade zone, you got to do all this stuff, and you got to start hedging these currencies you're trading in," and they're explaining it all, and my granddad just sat there, and after an hour he said, "Well, thank you very much." He said, "I don't know the first thing you're talking about." And then he said, "Second of all, I don't really want to know what you're talking about." And he looked at those men and he said, "Guys, life's real simple." He said, "I got to know how to cut a cow, go sell it, because if I don't do that today, you're not going to have anything to talk about." And he said, "You just talk to my grandson and whatever he says is fine with me. But," he said, "I want to warn you." He said, "None of this is up to you. It's up to God. And he's the one I got to talk to about this. What to do and when to do it." What would it take for you to say, "God, I lack"? Now remember, it starts with count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Then he says, "I want you to acknowledge you lack, and I want you to ask me, what to do. And he says, do it in faith. I've promised you it shall be given him. At the height of his popularity in England, D.L. Moody was invited to do a conference, and inadvertently they advertised the wrong date. And if you can imagine, this renowned evangelist from America had come to England, and he gets to this hall that can seat thousands, and there's a couple dozen people there. And they said, Mr. Moody, do you want to cancel this? He said, oh, no, no, no. He said, I want to cancel it. I want to preach to these people. He walked in. He preached from James 1. And he said, I want to preach on faith. And he said to the people there, how many of you understand that all the wrong dates went out for this meeting? And they said, yeah, we understand that. And he said, okay, how many of you believe God can fill every seat in this auditorium tonight? And all two dozen people raised their hand and said, yep, God can do that. He said, great. How many of you believe God will fill every one of these seats tonight? And nobody raised their hand. He said, people, faith is not that God can. Faith is that God will. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given him. God, I gotta know what to do and when to do it. And I thank God for counsel. But I need wisdom. Bow your head in prayer. Father, if we're going to be the men you've called us to be, your wisdom is essential. It's not important. It's not critical. It's essential. We can never be what you've called us to be without it. But God, we've gotten comfortable doing exactly what an unsaved man does, just making the best call we know how. And that's never what you've called us to do. You've called us to have heaven's resource, heaven's wisdom. And God, all we got to do is acknowledge we lack and ask with specificity. And then, God, we got to do it in faith. Because if we don't believe you'll do it, your word says that we'll not receive anything.